If you want privacy, you're going to have to convince other people in your life to use certain tools and to not use certain companies' products. In doing so, you would have to convince them as to why privacy. Now, I've heard this question asked many times. The problem, though, is that there's no magic one bullet answer that's going to instantly convert everybody. And a lot of the times when people answer the question of why privacy, they sort of assume that the other person shares their fundamental belief structures, which is a lot of the time the main cause of the tension to begin with. In this episode, we're going to answer the question of how you can convince somebody. I'm Shadow Rebel, and this is the first episode of Simplify Privacy. Now, everybody's obviously got different fundamental belief structures. However, you can sort of tap into the basics of why, what's in it for them to use these tools. Now, often I will see a lot of libertarians and conservatives that have a similar overall ideology to what I believe, various podcasters, people that are talking on Reddit, and things such as this. The problem, though, is they're not actually doing anything about these belief structures, which is that they view the government as sort of this oppressive entity, and they're well aware that many of the companies on the left are censoring or are trying to stop speech from conservatives and libertarians. For example, we've referenced before that Gotcha CEO, which is a obviously CEO company, they did a study of 50 controversial Google searches, and they found that 31% of them were favoring left-leaning websites, while as only 5% were favoring conservatives, and then the rest were neutral. So there is this massive bias within Google for promoting left-wing pro-authority results and to suppress certain voices on social media. Now, some of this may be due to the companies themselves. Others point out that the government is potentially pressuring these companies to suppress certain speech, such as what we've seen with these Twitter documents coming forward. Now, regardless of the situation, ultimately, by using self-hosted services, by using certain protocols such as Noster, by having websites that aren't reliant on these companies, we are using alternatives that aren't the infrastructure of our enemy. So appealing to the fact that somebody has a certain belief structure, but they're not operating under that belief structure, could in theory persuade them as to why privacy. But the bigger problem, though, is what if somebody doesn't have that belief structure, right? You're trying to explain to them, look, the government, they're trying to screw us over. They're trying to put us in this dystopia. And the person's like, what are you talking about? Well, if somebody's this sort of center, left-leaning, pro-authority, a lot of these people have this sort of woke agenda. And so one of the main things is, how can we tap into that? Well, the main way is by promoting this idea that, hey, everybody should get a fair shot in life, right? So if you're whatever, then you should have the same employment opportunities. You should have the same chance of crime and such. So an example is, a lot of people on the left are concerned about these ideas of frisking from the police, because this targets certain minorities and it increases potential incarceration. So you might tap into that. You could talk about, for example, that Donald Trump is being backed by Peter Thiel. And Peter Thiel has this AI firm, Palantir, which has a history of selling preemptive surveillance data to the LA police. So they were using traffic cameras to target various individuals for pre-crime frisking. So they haven't done anything yet, but let's see if they can do something. And you could also reference how Palantir is now pushing Trump to want this input-output biometric data that they're claiming is going to be used for immigration, but can obviously be used to track U.S. citizens For example, in one of Trump's speeches, he referenced using this biometric data for air travel. So that's obviously not that effective in stopping somebody from South America who's coming into the country. You could also reference that Muslims have a history of being targeted. So just one of the many examples is the Salat First is an app that reminds Muslims of when to pray, and they sold user data to both the FBI and ICE to track these user locations. And this is after, you know, Guantanamo Bay is still continuing to torture prisoners without even having a trial. So you have this issue of certain groups being targeted. You could also point out that a lot of people on the left are concerned about gay rights. And so an example of this being potentially abused is Grindr, the app, sells user location data, where people are all the time, being combined with their sexual history, being combined with maybe their employment. And this has actually been used to fire gay priests. They sold the data. So according to the New York Post, they allowed even unknown third parties to access sensitive information about users, including whom they were dating, where they lived and worked, and where they spent their free time. So this is potentially a huge deal. If someone on the left is also usually concerned with the rights of women. So this whole abortion issue. Now, I don't know how you personally feel about it, but that's irrelevant. The point is, how does the person you're trying to convince feel about it? So if you're talking to somebody who's a woman or is far on the left, you could point out that mobile geolocation tracking has been used. This is not hypothetical. It has been used to be weaponized against anti-abortion groups. So you could use this Politico quote, which is a left-leaning organization, to talk about how they said that one ad firm boasted that in 2015, it could tag up to all smartphones entering and leaving nearly 700 Planned Parenthood clinics. So again, we're tapping into, what does this person care about that I can convince them? Another example, people on the left often are interested in climate change. You could point out that Google handed the Indian police the data on a 21-year-old climate activist who was then arrested for typing on Google Docs about farming protests. So that they were just organizing a protest and talking about it. So this is obviously a huge issue. Now, people on the right, they're obviously gonna go, oh, who cares about the climate stuff? In fact, though, the opposite might be used. So for example, people such as Derek Brose talk about this technocracy that's going to sort of rule over us by groups of experts who are going to give us carbon credits. This has also been referenced by James Corbett and Whitney Webb, how these carbon credits are coming, that they're going to allocate your right to use electricity and things like this. And it's going to be connected to the CBDC and a digital ID and this sort of dystopia of government control. So here's another way you can market somebody on why privacy if they are on the right, is look, this evil government, we're clearly trending in this direction of losing our freedoms. Why wouldn't you set yourself up so that you are better able to deal with this stuff? And that's my primary message, is that voting and political action is unlikely to bring about any type of meaningful change. But instead, if you empower yourself with your technology choices, with your actions, that is all that matters. In this podcast, we'll talk about switching over to Linux, as well as some advanced tips for the power users that are already using it. We'll be talking about VPNs versus proxies. We'll be talking about a wide variety of open source tools that can replace some of the things you're currently using. We'll be talking about de-Googled phones, as well as cryptocurrency, of course, Monero, Bitcoin, as well as some of the traditional financial structures such as LLCs and offshore companies, and what these types of things are and are not useful for. Additionally, we'll be talking about travel and some of the foreign passports and how that could incorporate into some of your thinking. Of course, we'll be discussing websites, why you should be having a website, how to properly do it, avoiding some of the traps such as WordPress. I'm a huge fan of Hugo, as well as we'll be talking about networks that offer amazing freedom by transcending physical locations such as Noster, Bastion, Arweave. We'll be talking about all different types of encrypted messengers and how that can all play in to your financial and technological freedom. So I hope you tune in. Every podcast is not going to be for everybody. There's going to be stuff you may know already. That's all right. I just hope you stick around so that when we get to a topic that you do care about, you're able to learn from it. I'm Shadow Rebel, and this is the first episode of Simplify Privacy.